This week, Brother Brzezinski teaches a lesson titled, The Only Answer.
I want to read a quote first from John Locke. I've not read any of this book. Brother Kilman said, I only expect brilliance tonight. Andrew, I'm glad you were here to fill that void. Thank you. So, John Locke, I don't want to read any of this from John Locke, but I want to just read this quote from John Locke. And this was somebody else speaking of John Locke. He said he wrote at a time when there were urgent reasons for reuniting the Church of England, when there was a pressing need for some simple body of doctrine, no matter how baffling or inconsistent, through which men of vastly differing religious convictions could be brought together to worship under the same roof. Locke's Reasonableness of Christianity, which is what this book is, The Reasonableness of Christianity, was an attempt to meet that need. And, you know, there has been more done wrong in the church due to reasonableness than perhaps many other forces, certainly more than persecution. If you go back, and I know I'm in Brother Kilman's territory here, but if you go back to see what has corrupted Scripture, it was not good Bible-believing people, honest people. It was the elite and the intelligent people who said, we need to figure out how we can make this Christian, this text, this Bible, reasonable and palatable, and how we can kind of make it just a little more reasonable and a little more acceptable. And from there we get all these kind of elite texts coming out of Alexandria, these smart elite people, and reasonableness. Is that such a bad thing to have reason? Is reason a bad thing? No, reason's not a bad thing. But reason is a detrimental thing if we lean heavily on it. For example, let me just give you this example when I said I was more comfortable being an apostolic. And here's why. Because I can find the truth of Scripture. I can find the truth of Scripture, and I can defend it with my reason pretty good. I can point out that there is no Trinity in this Bible. I can do that with my reason without very much help. I have the tools in my reason to do it, okay? I can apply my reason and that's good. The Word of God is quick and sharp and true. And as Andrew preached, this Word is anointed in itself. This Word is going to do some work in itself. But we are missing something. This truth in itself is not, I want to be careful how I say this. This truth in itself falls short if it's on the shelf. This truth falls short if it's not in action. Okay? I don't want to be apostolic if I'm not Pentecostal. Okay? I don't want to be apostolic in doctrine and miss being Pentecostal in experience. So I want to talk to you about what it means to be Pentecostal. I want to talk to us about that. You see, doctrine is a static thing. It's forever settled. We're not going back to rewrite this book. It's forever settled. It's static. There it is. But my friends, 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. There is something dynamic. The Holy Ghost is dynamic. I mean, it's moving. I mean, it's active. I mean, it's in the now. So when I talk about Pentecost, am I meaning emotionalism, emotional worship? Am I even meaning speaking in tongues? Oh, we do need to speak in tongues because the Bible clearly teaches it's the evidence, it's the sign that comes with the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. But we do ourselves a mistake to think that tongues equals the Holy Ghost. Tongues equals God's approval. No, you can't wrap Pentecost up in these cute little packages, and you can't say that Pentecost is just the tradition that's grown up around our churches. You can't limit Pentecost to any one of those things because Pentecost is the dynamic force by which we experience God. Pentecost, if I could define it in one way, is our experiencing of God. It's the application of the gospel to our lives. You can't, is Pentecost a historical event? Well, sure it is. Sure it is. It did happen, but real Pentecost must happen in the now, because it's an experience. It's an action with a living, moving, dynamic spirit. And this gets scary because we can't control it. And then you have to bring up that conversation with people. You're a Pentecostal? You speak in tongues? This is nuts to people. This is nuts to people. The next thing that Pentecost is, it's an experience with God. It's the application of the gospel. But it is more than that. It's not just an experience, and it is an experience, and it is an experience of the truth, but it's more. It unlocks the door to the kingdom of God. Period. Period. With all due respect, as Andrew said, there's a lot of flavors of Christianity out there. Nobody has what we have. Do I say that arrogantly? No, but the Bible's clear. Without the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. It's just what the Bible says. With all due respect to this word, and this word is sharp and powerful and wonderful, but I cannot argue my way to transform somebody's life. Cannot do it. I can't convince somebody enough to get them to drop alcohol or to get them to get over drugs. I can't convince somebody, and my logic falls short and my reason falls short, and I can handle the truth in such a way, but it falls short. Santander, we've been sitting with a gentleman that you've been working with. We were at a pairings with him, remember? That was a good time. And we were sitting there, we were having a good conversation. We were talking about the Bible. It was all very good. We were kind of arguing back and forth about, we were getting our swords of logic and reason. We're like, you know, we're clashing swords, sparks are flying. We're getting nowhere. We're getting nowhere because he's a smart guy. You know, Santander's a smart guy. Jesus help me. But we were there. But there was a moment where Santander's like, look. I don't want to argue with you. I'm talking to your heart. And I know you've got a need. I know you're not where you want to be with God. And God can change your life. You felt him just disarm. You just felt him disarm. Why? Because Santander has got something going on with God. And when he got away from reason and logic and just said, here's what's going to transform your life. Here's what's going to get it done in this only. You need God to transform you in a spiritual way. Only Pentecost. And that's, I'm not going to go long tonight, I promise you, but this is my third point. The only answer. The only answer is Pentecost. Is the only answer Pentecostals in our culture? No. The only answer is the moving, the dynamic moving of the Spirit of God in our lives. That is the only answer. I remember, and I don't know, we come to church. We feel the presence of God. We know what it's like. I remember being far from God. I remember clearly what that was like. I remember thinking, God, there's no way. I know the Bible. I know about the Bible. I know what the Bible says. But experientially, I thought, God, there's no way. This is just not for me. I remember sitting in an IBC concert in the balcony. Does God move in the balconies? Okay, he can. I was sitting up in the balcony, and I was not even reaching out for God. I wasn't really super interested in God because I didn't think there was really a whole lot of chance for me. My uncle brought me. And I remember that they sang this song, and everything was quiet, and the song said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And when they said that, I felt something. I felt a powerful otherness sweep into that balcony, and I felt it. And I got almost scared because I felt the power of what that was. I experienced God's power, that holiness, that cleanness. We get used to it, but that is what this world will be changed by, experiencing God. We've got a friend I've been working with, and I've tried to, this is not against Bible studies. Bible studies work. But I don't know how to convince my friend to believe in God, but if when I got him in the doors here, God could took care of the rest. Brother Lopez, you said it so well. God can take care of his part. He will take care of his part. We need the dynamic moving of the Holy Ghost in our lives. It is the only answer. Matthew 5 and 14 says, "You're the light of the world." Ye are the light of the world. Well, that's a cute analogy. You're the light of the world. What that really means, Genesis 1 and 1, or on day 1 of creation, let there be light. One of the first things God made in the created order, light. That's no coincidence that Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." It's telling us, Spirit-filled people, the minority in the Christian world, you are the light of the world. Why? Because you have the Holy Ghost. And the light makes manifest. The light makes manifest the new kingdom that is to come. It's already here on earth. It's already here. It's here in the Holy Ghost. That was the beginning of the new age. And so when you're out at work, when you're out in your day-to-day actions, when you're speaking to people, it's more than Joe Christian, who's Baptist and goes to church, and he can point him through his reason to the Bible, and that's a good thing. God bless him. But you, my friends, you who've experienced the Holy Ghost, you make manifest something different, something deeper. You and you alone are the light of the world who make manifest the coming kingdom. That's a responsibility. That's a responsibility. I've got a lot of family. I've got a lot of family who needs to be saved. They need to get in church. But you know what? I've lived with Kevin for a while. I know what Kevin's all about. If you know me well, you know what Kevin's all about. Santander's amening. Not Santander will vouch for me. I don't trust my flesh very much. I don't trust it very much at all. I know what's in this flesh. I know what's in this heart. I don't really freak out and get surprised anymore when I mess up, because I know that's just the fleshly nature doing what the fleshly nature will do. What I'm trying to say is, we've got it. Through our living perfectly, through our will? No. Morality's not going to win this world in a certain sense. We need morality. We need truth. I'm not preaching against those things. Perfecting your conduct through your own discipline and will is not what this world needs. It's not what this world needs. I know what to expect from my flesh. Nothing good. But the Holy Ghost, Jesus help us, the Holy Ghost is what will get the job done. And there's no other answer. I look at my family. I've got family who is bound in alcoholism. I've got family who I know is lost. I can hold to the apostolic doctrine firmly. I can discipline my life firmly. I can be a moral Christian-y person. I can have morality in a Christian context. It will transform nobody's life. But if I, it's not about Kevin. It's just if I'll get out of the way and say, "Jesus, I don't know what to do here. I've exhausted everything I can do. Jesus, I need you to show up. I need your spirit to transform something. I need you to break down strongholds in the spirit. I need you to move or I'm lost." That's what we're talking about. And who can do that? Who can do that, my friends? People who are dynamically experiencing Pentecost. We should call it Pentecostaling. I wish that we were Pentecostaling. I wish it were a progressive word. That's what we ought to be. Not just, I got filled with the Holy Ghost one time historically, but I live and I move in his Spirit. I wish I could say it how I felt it. I wish I could. But what kind of a responsibility is that? There's no other answer for this world. I hate to say it. I like that people are doing Christian-y things. I like that. But Pentecostals and this spiritual moving is the only answer. And I said before, sometimes I'm a little more comfortable to say I'm apostolic because I can still retain some semblance of dignity and I can use my reason, but I don't just want to be an apostolic preacher. I want to be a Pentecostal preacher because that alone is going to save this world. You're going to look like a fool. You speak in tongues. You're worshiping God. You actually think God is moving. God is moving in the present. God is moving in the now to those who have experienced Pentecost. I want to experience Pentecost all the time because I've got family who needs a change. There's no other option. This world has no other option. Stephen in the book of Acts. The council brought him up. He gave his testimony, and at the end of it, they stoned him. Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost, they could not resist his Spirit or his wisdom. You see, they could stone him, they could refuse him, but they could not refute the Spirit that he had. That's what I'm talking about, folks. You say, Señor, I don't want to argue about this, but you need your life changed. God can transform your life. And they're going to feel that because he's transformed your life. Because you've spoken in tongues not once, but you live in the Spirit. You're experiencing Pentecost. I'm telling you, you can walk away. The people you talk to, us here now, we can always refuse and resist the Spirit, but you cannot deny when you feel the power of God. That's our weapon. That's what has to move this church forward. There's nothing else. I want to be a Pentecostal. That was short, but I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Let's reach out to God. I feel God's presence here. And I want to experience God in my life. I don't just want to go about my life. And I know you don't want to go about your life doing what you can do in the flesh because it's so limited. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. If Alex, if you could come and help us with music. And I want to drive one single point home to you. God could have preached and brought his kingdom forward through angels. He could have brought it forward through just predestination or something. I don't know, but God has not predestinated people. He's not sent angels to move this kingdom forward. He sent little short guys like me and Hispanic Americans like Brother Lopez and just people. Just people, because there's nothing good in this flesh, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I don't know why he did that, but that makes you and I responsible to illuminate this new kingdom. The Baptists will not do it. The Catholics will not do it. John 3 says they don't even see it. They haven't even entered into it. If you want to get into this door, there's only one way into the door. I'm done being cute about it. I'm done being cute about it. I'm done being cute about it because there's only one way, and it does take a moving of the Holy Ghost.